Well, we had Mother's Day last week, and man, I was so inspired by the honor of mothers, but how much it is a bigger subject, and how much we can actually, with our mothers, we can develop this attitude and this heart of honor that actually is our relationship with God. And we looked at what honor actually is. Anybody remember what I said honor was about?
Value.
It's value, isn't it? It's when you put value on something. And I've got a few things here I want to say really quickly. I have this little definition. This is my definition. Is that okay? You can send it into Wikipedia if you want, or into those dictionaries, whatever they are. Tell them this is what it should be. It's recognizing and providing value. So what I mean in this is if you're going to honor somebody, you find out what is of value to them. You recognize what is of value to them. And then you, in some way, provide for that. It might be a prayer. It might be something different. But it, my responsibility now is I can't just say that I'm honoring you with my words if nothing else happens. Because it requires value on my part. I'm going to have to give up something for that to take place, right? Okay. So let's look at this. We got this up here on the screen. So the recognition and provision of value. What is honored, and this is kind of where I want to go here today. This is kind of a different approach to this, but if you can hang with me. What is honored is cared for with value. Okay. So when you honor something, it's cared for with value. What is cared for yields a return. So if you actually value something, you're going to actually put some time and effort into it. And actually, there's going to be a return that comes to you as a result of that. Does this make sense? You know, I use this with regard to playing an instrument all the time because this is my life. But I was thinking about it, and I wrote about it today when I was, we had our first child, Hayden. And I think he was only maybe 3 or 4 years old. The only gaming, so when I grew up, I'll just say this real quick. When I grew up, my dad and my household, it was very precious. We really believed in not being distracted by other things in the world. And we did not have a TV until I was 16 years old. And Mark Hankins came and corrupted us. He wanted to watch a football game. And so he bought us a television when I was 16. And boy, things went down. No, not really. But I did learn the guitar as a result of not having it. Why? Because I was able to put value where it was of more worth than having it expended upon things that just go by. Does that make sense? So anyway, back to my analogy of Hayden, which is a wonderful gamer. So he's only 3 or 4 years old, and we get this game for him. It's the first game in our household. It's a wonderful occasion, bringing in a game. But I think, okay, I'm going to actually begin to play a game, me, the guy that didn't have a TV till I was 16. And no, because this little guy valued that game more than I did. And he gave himself to it, and he became great at playing that game and staying on that game and not letting me get any moments on that game. So I don't even know if I ever played that game because he valued it more than I did. And since that time, and even now, he has gotten value from that in his life. And I'm not going to say it's a bad thing because there's skills that you can develop in different ways. I've gotten away from that because I despised that game for a long time. I'll just be real before you. And I thought it was taken from other things in his life. And he's actually become a great guitar player too and a singer. So it's not like you can't have both. My point is there's if you're going to get something out of something, you're going to have to give something to it. And what he did was give himself to that. He valued it more than I ever would. And as a result, he got something out of it. He got a lot. And man, how many games have we had since then? I have no idea. He used to bring me into his bedroom. He said, "Dad, play a game with me." And, you know, 15 minutes later, he's done with his turn. And 30 seconds after that, I'm done. And so it's time to take a nap. I don't know. You know what I mean? Because he valued that more. What's that? You understand that? Okay. So the level of care determines the level of return. Okay. And there's a side of honor that we like to talk about. And a lot of it is how much we're supposed to be giving honor. But I think there needs to be a focus of, and we're human, right? What is the return on this for me? Can we kind of look at that a little bit today? Because the kingdom of God is actually based upon honor. And you're not going to get anything out of something unless it's you give to it and you invest in it, right? Yeah. Let's look here at, man, we might be touching on this a little bit for a while because I don't know about you, but I took some courses in college that, man, for I was on trimester, so we had 10-week semesters, and we had three of them in the year. But, man, some of those classes, I mean, you had to study all night. You had to, for what? For some stupid class that I don't even know, remember all of them right now. To get one, you know. And here we are talking about eternal things. And these things we don't just get them in one setting. We don't just get them, you know, especially if we're not really paying attention. It has to be something that we keep, man, we have to meditate on this a little bit, don't we? Because there's a change needs to take place in me. No matter how much I'm into this already, I need some more. I need some transformation. Amen? I don't want to be conformed to the world. I want to be transformed by the renewing, but that renewing is going to be a process over time, isn't it? It's going to be a continual thing. So let's look here. Honor from God is enabled by honor for him. Now look at the word in here that's different that we don't normally see is honor from God. Did you know that God honors us? In fact, this was a big point for me last week when I was sharing this about, we said God has honored us already, hadn't he? Yeah. He's valued us so much that he gave Jesus before we did any, before we even looked his way, he gave us Jesus. That means he values us very highly, right? Yes. But once we've received him, how do you receive him? First of all, if you've really been born again, you've repented of everything else, right? What does that mean? I have decided that Jesus is of more value to me than everything else in my life. Is that right? That's how you get born again, isn't it? You don't just say, Jesus sounds like vitamin C to me. I'd like to add him as a supplement. No, that's not being born again, is it? No, all the old has to pass away. That means there's a revaluation of your life. Everything's based upon value, isn't it? Yeah. Amen? Yes. So, from the point of new birth, everything about an experience in God is going to have to do with a continual readjustment of your value system. Can you see this? Mm-hmm, all right. Let's look at an example here. And this is out of 1 Samuel 2:30. It says, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says," he said, this ain't just anybody talking here. This is the Lord, the God of Israel, says, "I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests. But," So this means that once God has promised something, there can be a negation of that promise based upon what we do. Can you see this? It says, "But I will honor those who do what?" That means all the blessings of God, all the wonderful things that we want from God, they don't just drop in our lap because we are cute. Right? How do we access them? There's an honor from God. Well, what is that honor? We're going to have to look at that a little bit because, man, everything that's good from God is his honor. actually everything that we have in Christ. We have everything for life and godliness in Christ. That's God's honor of us, isn't it? Man, that has to rise in valuation over some other things, though, because to actually access it, it's going to require an offering of honor from us. Can you see this? I will honor those who honor me, and I will do what? This is God talking. Remember back at the top of the verse? This is God talking. I will despise. Man, I don't like those kind of promises, do you? I'm standing on the promises of Christ, my King. All right, do you know that song? I don't know. It's an old hymn. This is not the promise I want to be mine that I'm standing on. I will despise those who do what? Think lightly of me. What does it mean to think lightly? That was a nice thought in church today. That afternoon, what was that thought? I don't remember. Right? That means it didn't have any weight in your life because you're not doing anything with it. Is that right? And this is God talking. He's saying, you know what? If you take what I say and it doesn't mean anything to you, and being in my presence is just me being your pal, he's the God of the universe. He said, and I will not honor you as a result of that. Let me give you the context real quick about this. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Eli, right? Eli's a priest. But he has two sons. What can cause us to let go of what God has told us to do? Of honoring him. What we know he wants for our life. He has two sons. Family is one of the biggest things with this. We can honor family above God real quick. What happened with him? He had two sons. He's getting old. He's having a hard time even getting around. I think his knees are probably bothering him, you know. And he didn't have one of those nice roller, you know, things. But his sons were treating people in their offerings badly. They gave actually meat offerings, and they were taking the things that were of the most value for themselves. And they were actually taking women and taking advantage of them when they came into the church. Goodness. And Eli didn't do anything about it. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't that he wasn't doing honor for God. He knew what God wanted, and he was withholding because of his relationship with his sons. He was afraid of what they might say. For whatever reason, he was not honoring God by allowing this to continue. There's things in our life that we, especially in our hearts, we know what God wants us to do. And for whatever reason, we want to make a loophole out of it. Yeah. I want to partake of this substance. I want to watch this. I want to be entertained by this. I'm not saying what this is, but our hearts will condemn us, right? Convict us. If it's not something that's honorable, would you do that thing if God was sitting right there with you? Because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. Right? And in this case, he's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter that they're your sons. And what I've promised, he said, you're not going to be a part of this anymore. He condemned him, didn't he? He said, I'm going to despise you. So the point is, there's an honor from God that's dependent upon our honor for God. Amen. It's already provided. He's already promised it. But it's dependent on what we're doing with the value of him in our life. And it will look like a lot of different things, right? Okay. Let's go to this next one. Are you good this morning?
Yes.
All right. We're honors. Honorable, aren't we? Yes. We're honorers. I don't know if that's not a word, is it? The kingdom of heaven is an adjustment of honor placement. All right, I've already touched this, but what happens in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to look at Jesus in his teachings, would also, a lot of times in his parables, he said, the kingdom of God is like this. Why is he doing that? Because when you get brought out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, it's a different kingdom. Buddy's experiencing this right now because he's getting to go to some different places of the world where they just do things differently. Actually, there was a report recently. Where did they go? They went that place in the Bahamas. Somebody, an American, Turks, Caicos. I don't know if anybody heard this or not, but they went there on vacation, and he happened to have a spent, I think it was a shotgun shell, in his luggage, and he's going to be spending 7 years in prison. All the details might not be exact, but he's going to be in prison for several years because he had something in here. 12. Huh? Oh, 12 years. 12 years in prison because he did not know how their kingdom operated over there. Ignorance of a kingdom is not an excuse, right? And that's why Jesus says, you know what? You've been called into another kingdom, and your ignorance of it is no excuse. Your ignorance is only going to be your separation from its provision. Can you see that? So, he gives these examples, and it's all about value. And we're going to see this, okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. All right, there's some value there, isn't it? And look at what he compares this treasure to. That a man discovered in a hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and did what with everything else he had? Got rid of it, didn't he? To get enough money to buy the field. So what I'm looking at here is value. What's he talking about? This is the kingdom. Well, in the kingdom, when you find something of honor, of the highest value, it devalues everything else in your life that would keep you from accessing it. Does that make sense? If this doesn't happen, you don't get the fullness of the kingdom. There has to be this devaluation. All right. Are you having fun yet? This is necessary, isn't it? And he says, again, I'd like to say another kingdom thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of a great value, what did he do? Said, I got to get rid of everything else that will keep me from having this thing. Right? He sold everything he owned and did what? He bought that. Everything in the kingdom is about value, isn't it? All right, let's go to John 5:44. So, we can't expect, and you know there's some teaching right now that there's nothing that we have to do with anything. God has just blessed everybody with the same things. And it doesn't look like that to me. You know, some people are blessed in different ways than others. Everybody I know in my personal life that has been faithful to give has been blessed beyond measure. Right. Everybody that operates in faith is experiencing blessing in their life. And then there's some that aren't, that are speaking doubt and unbelief, and it has an effect. God doesn't change for people. His blessings are the same. He has poured them out without measure. But how do we access them? We access them by what Jesus just said. There has to be a valuation change, transformation. We have to start valuing other things more than what we did before. Amen? So there is this honor from God. We don't think about this too much, do you? So the honor from God. Actually, we do, but we're not realizing what we're doing. But just calling it honor from him is a different thing for me. That God actually wants to honor us, and the trigger for his honor of us is our honor of him. Amen. We saw that in the first verse we looked at, right? No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other. This is John 5:44. But you don't care about the honor that comes from. What's really interesting is you can get all puffed up and you think, well, man, I'm good at honoring everybody else. I'm such a wonderful person. Everybody thinks I'm really great at treating people nice and being, you know, a provider and all kinds of things like that. It says, but you don't care about the honor that comes from. Isn't that interesting? There's honor too, but there's honor from that needs to be considered. That comes from the one who alone is God. There needs to be this fear. It's kind of like the fear of running out of gas. I'm not scared of it, but I'm going to do what it takes to not run out of gas. Is that good? We need to fear God. Not that we're scared of him, but I don't want to run out of him. Amen? I don't want to be without him. Amen? He says, the honor from God should be something that we care about. And until we do, we're not going to do the adjustment that it takes to make sure that it's there for us. Amen? All right, let's keep going. John 12:26. The key then, so we recognize that this kingdom that we're in now is a kingdom of valuation where we're going to let go of everything else that will keep us from getting what? The honor from God. Amen? Can you see that? Yeah. And now, okay, so what triggers this? What triggers this from God? And I'm just going to look at a couple points here, but I'm sure that this becomes a lifestyle. This becomes a character thing that we live in the realm of honoring. We're not going to dishonor God. We're not going to dishonor other people either, but it's because we become adept at this. This is who we are. You're not going to get me to talk bad about somebody. Remember what happened with David? He was in the cave of Adullam, and the king came and came into his cave to go to sleep. And he's laying there, and David could have killed him. The king was there to kill him, right? He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. And what did he do? It was terrible what he did. He cut off a piece of the garment. You know what? It was terrible for him. He felt horrible about cutting off the garment from this guy that was going to kill him. That was why? Because he had honor for who God honored. Isn't that amazing? And it should become the same thing that we have, especially for those in our body. You know, I think we should even honor anybody in the world because Jesus gave his life for them. We shouldn't be talking about people. It's so dishonorable to become, especially if we've served with somebody or we're connected with people in the body of Christ, to say anything about them that would bring them down in value to somebody else. If we know something about them, it's so dishonorable to reveal that. Can you see that? And what it does is it puts us in a lack of confidence towards God because God doesn't reveal stuff about us, does he? Right. Amen? Oh, it's so important. Anyway, so the key, and here's one of the keys to honor from God. We're seeing that there's another kind of honor. We want to be desperate for this. We want to be fearful of this. But I don't want to miss out on the honor that God has for me. Amen? Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will do what? Honor anyone who serves me. Isn't this interesting? So there's a direct connection now to how can I get in this mode of receiving honor from him? It's activated in my service to him. This isn't Old Testament, is it? This is Jesus, isn't it? This is the heart of Jesus. He said, what's wonderful about serving me, he says, is you get to be with me. Man, this should be the motivation. You know, we need people serving in this body right now, but the motivation shouldn't be something that we're feeling obligated and we're just fulfilling an obligation. The motivation should be, man, when I serve, I get to experience Jesus. That's what he's saying, isn't it? So this is what you get when you serve. You get to be with me. And then there's actually a reward in that. And the Father honors those who serve me. Amen? What's really interesting, in Matthew 20, this was in our reading this week, this was so interesting to me, that Jesus makes a connection here too. He says, remember the kingdom things? He says, you know what? In the kingdom, it's not those who get, but it's those who give. It's a service thing. Amen? Another kingdom issue, that to receive honor from God, what did he do for us? He served us, didn't he? We looked at this last week. It's at the end of Matthew 20. There's two blind men, and they're calling out to him, and they're saying, Jesus. Jesus, and he comes up to him. He's the Son of God. He heals everybody that will believe. And what does he do? He asks them, what can I do for you? Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, I perceive by the Holy Spirit that you are blind. No, by my naked eye that you are blind. And so I'm going to heal you whether you like it or not. No, he's waiting to be their servant. He has the ability to heal them. But what is this kingdom that he's presenting? It's the kingdom of a servant. I come, and whatever I have to give, I'm going to serve somebody that wants that. Amen? I'm looking for a value that I can serve. Amen? Amen. And what does that do? It activates Jesus. Jesus humbled himself to the death of the cross. And now what is he? He's highly exalted in honor. All right, let's keep going. Are y'all good? Yes. All right, say, I'm good. I'm good. Punch your neighbor and say, you're good. You're good. Wake up. All right. All right. Humility under his hand leads to honor from it. So what are we doing when we humble ourselves under the hand of God? We're humbling ourselves under the will of God, his purpose, amen? Yeah. What he says? Yeah. What does that mean? Not my will, but your will be done. Yeah. Amen? 1 Peter 5:6. If you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in his good time, he will do what? Lift you up. There has to be, you know, in the process of faith, there's always a period of time, isn't there? Let patience have this perfect work in you, that you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, there has to be a passage of time. Man, we can get burned in the passage of time, can't we? We can give up and say it's not any good because some time passed. Well, that's a key ingredient in the whole process, is time, right? And he says, in his good time, he will lift you up. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Man, let's be comforted in this. Amen? Yeah. The God of creation, once he almost can't contain him. He can't contain himself. He wants to pour out his favor upon us. He wants to pour out his honor upon us. And he's saying, I just need an excuse. I just need an opening. But remember what he said. Remember what he said to Eli. I cannot if there's not honor coming to me. That would not be a just God. I need to have it coming to me. Amen? So there needs to be this. What do we see? Servant. We serve him. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Let's make a correlation to that, to his word. When God says something, what do we say? If he said it, I believe it. If he said it, I'm going to do it. Amen? What's that? That's humbling ourselves. I don't care what I think about this. I care what God says about it. And when I do that, what am I doing? I'm honoring, I'm elevating what he says above what I might have to think. And I just encourage you this. It's so important to not spend too much time talking with each other about what we think about stuff if it's not based upon the Word of God. Because we can actually begin to elevate it. That's actually elevating it above the Word of God. Because it will affect what we decide to do. If all we're doing is moving from what we think about things. Amen? And who we're getting those thoughts from. Doesn't matter how famous they are, what they've produced. Our only reliance is upon the Word of God. Amen? All right. Let's go to Numbers 11:20. So honor will turn to dishonor with rejection. All right, let me explain this when we read it here. You will eat it for a whole month until you gag and are sick of it. Anybody know what we're talking about here? All right. For you have rejected the Lord who is here among you, and you have whined to him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? What are we talking about here? We're talking about God's honor of the children of Israel. They didn't have anything to eat, so he rained manna out of heaven. And what did they do? They started rejecting God's honor in their life because they were getting tired of it. Remember? So what did God say? He said, okay, you're going to get some meat. And remember, Moses says, how in the world is that going to happen? We have, what did he say? Was it 600,000 troops, I believe? And just the troops alone, Larry's head is spinning about how much it would take to provide for them in a day. Right, they say, well, there's no way we could sacrifice our slaughter all our animals and have enough meat for all these people. This is just an impossible. Moses is saying this to God. God says, you just watch, I can do this. Now, the next thing here is really going to make Larry's head spin. Because what does he give them? He gives them quail. He said, you're going to get so many quail, you're going to gag on quail. Because you've rejected what I provided for you. Is that an oxymoron, gagging on quail? I don't know. Does that not happen? I don't know. but here's what will happen. We can say, God, I don't receive your honor for my life because it's not palatable to me. It's not necessarily what I prefer. I would rather have meat. And God says, you can go ahead and have what you want, but you're going to gag on it later. Right? There needs to be an acceptance and a humility before us of what God actually provides for us to do. Maybe he wants us to just serve in a way that doesn't get a recognition right away. Right? Maybe he just wants us to be praying, you know, and nobody knowing, you know. And yeah. We have a family here, and I'll just mention this. They're, I think she's serving maybe in the Grace. I'll just mention this. They're a blessing to us. And I didn't know they were doing this. This is the reason why I'm saying this. I didn't know they were doing this, and they come from a culture that is very honorable, and so this is something that they was natural for them to do, I think, in a big way. But they come on Saturday mornings and clean the church, which nobody sees except for that I have cameras on my phone, and I can go back and replay. I can say, oh, that's who was cleaning today. I know that happened. But then I was talking to him about it, and he said, yeah, we clean it in the morning, and then we go home and we get the family, and we go out in the neighborhoods and knock on doors, and we invite people to church. I'm thinking, I didn't even know you were doing that. Well, he wasn't doing it for us to know. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. That he's just wanting to serve God, you know? And I'm not saying that to give, and I'm not even telling you names, right? But it should be a heart that we have. So, okay, God, what do you have for me to do, right? And that's not too low for me to do. I want some meat. And he says, I've given you something that if you'll value what I've given you, there's more to come. How many know that they didn't even have to stay in the wilderness? They didn't even have to eat quail. There was a promised land that had an abundance, way more than they could even begin to contain. If they would just allow the manna to sustain them till they got there and trust God as if he knows what he's doing. He said, he will provide with time if you'll just trust him with it. Amen? Oh, all right. That was fun. Let's go to Hebrews 12. A seat of honor. So there is a reward for us. And I just want to end this, for us to end this with this, because I think there needs to be, and I encourage us with this, every time God is challenging, is anybody feeling a little challenged in their honor towards God or their honor of what he wants to bring into our lives? There needs to be an elevation of this. How about you? I need this today. Amen? Can we say, God, I want to elevate what you've promised that I could have in my life, to the point that I'm going to say, it's a treasure in a field that I'm going to go sell everything else I have in order to gain that. Amen? We just think that God's just supposed to drop something in our lap because we quoted a verse or laid a claim enough times in a row. And he said, no, I need a lifestyle. I need to be able to see that you actually believe this. Amen? But he does have a reward for those. And I just speak this over us. We are the ones who are changing. We're the ones who are being transformed by this renewing in our mind. We're not just content in living in a dishonorable state. Right. But we're saying, God, I want to find out what you value. I want to apply my life to that. And I'm going to trust you. I'm not doing it for this reason, but I know there's a reward in this. I know that this isn't something that I'm going to have to be miserable for eternity. You're not calling me to that. You actually have a reward for me. Amen? Yeah. And it's actually right now, if you can. It's like we were praying over Israel about the peace. You don't need the shells to stop flying. It becomes a peace that comes from the inside. And this is a reward we can even have right now. And I believe this over us while we're seeing this. Amen? Yeah. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. So when you're experiencing, when you're in a conflict, when you're in a confrontation, when you're in a battle, when you're, you're having a sporting event, you have a whole bunch of people watching, don't you? But those that are actually in the battle, man, they're sweating, they're hurting, they're getting injured, they're going through all kinds of stuff. But it's for a purpose. There's an end. The timer's going to go off at some point, and it's going to be over with, right? But there's a need to keep pressing towards that. There's a need to keep going towards that. Since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, that's what faith is, isn't it? It doesn't take faith to believe for anything that you already have. Faith is a fight. We say, no, God said it. I believe it. I'm going to hang on to it. Amen? And what are you doing when you do that? You're honoring God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
When you're standing on his word and it looks like it isn't going to work, what you're doing, you're elevating what God said above the circumstances.
Right.
When somebody's sick and you say, no, by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. What are you doing? You're saying, no, I elevate what God said above the condition in this body right now. And it must change because I'm not changing. Amen? All right. So what needs to take place, though, since we're surrounded with all these people, I think about people that have gone before us, people that we love. I don't know how much they can see. I hope they can't see everything. But I know they're cheering for us, right? Let us, so there's a part that we have to play, though, if we're going to get the benefit of this, right? Let us do what? Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. There's a purpose in holiness for us. Is it so that we can just be snoods or whatever? We can be snobs, whatever that word is. Okay. No, it's so that we can honor. So that we can honor. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Disregarding. What is this? What is the antonym of disregard? Honor or regard? When you despise, when you disregard, you're dishonoring, right? And so what he actually did is dishonored shame. He dishonored anything that would keep him. And what is that? That's a devaluing. There needs to be a supernatural. We're going to go to a supernatural devaluing service. That would be a very good thing, wouldn't it? Where everything in our life that seems to be like such a big mountain gets taken down and leveled.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Because that's what happens in God's presence. Amen?
Right.
He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now what? He is seated in the place of what? Honor. Honor. What was that? That was not something that he was giving. It's something he received. That came from God. There's an honor from God that we do not get until we endure, until we go through by faith. Amen? All right, I got one more. Because we look unto Jesus, don't we? But we're not just looking at him. He's looking at us. Why did he go to the cross? Why is he seated in heavenly places? You know what? He was already in heaven before. He did all that for us. Amen? So that God can honor us. Man, this is big. This is kind of a lot bigger than whatever else we got going on in our life. I'm sorry, but I don't know. We haven't even had a chance to talk. But whatever it is, this is more important than that. Amen? The greatest honor from God needs our honor of him. Amen? Laying aside sin, laying aside weights, laying aside temptations to doubt and to get into worry and to get into anxiety. Laying aside those things. Amen? What is that? That's honor of God, is it not?
Yes.
And even though he's already done something to seat us right beside him in heavenly places, in Christ, it still needs our honor for us to access that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:6, for he raised us. Don't you like this past tense? This isn't something that we have to believe God for. It's already done.
Right.
He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Okay? Let's go back real quick and remember what God promised the tribe of Levi that Eli was in. He said, even though I promised this to you, I cannot fulfill it because of your lack of honor. Even though we've been seated with him in heavenly places, we don't get to live there when we're living dishonorably. When we're disregarding and rejecting what God provides for us, the honor that he's already given us. Amen? There's an opportunity for us today. Amen? Let's do this. Let's lay aside. Let's say, God, show me. Show me where the change needs to be. Show me where I can make an adjustment.